Wherever you are in the world, the weather's going to be changeable, and it's really important to work with it rather than against it. We've all been out there thinking, oh my goodness, I really need to get this job finished as the heavens open and you're soaking wet within 2 minutes. But working with the weather rather than against it can make all the difference in the world. Hello, and welcome to the Self Sufficient Podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Being sustainable and food security matters. Welcome to episode 45 of the Self Sufficient Podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. So, I want to talk today about the weather and specifically what we can do to work with the weather rather than against it. So to start with, let's talk about the difference between weather and climate. So climate is how you would describe the sort of weather you have in your location over the seasons. Weather is the specific thing that the weather is doing any given time. So you could live in a very dry, arid climate, and that's something that you need to plan for, but that doesn't mean that you never get rain and there will be days when it rains. You might live, as I do, in a temperate climate, and in the UK in particular, we have quite changeable weather, so we tend to get quite a lot of extremes, not the far end of extremes. So we tend to get, I would describe it as all the extremes, but lesser versions of them more frequently. So we get, to us, quite hot summers where it gets up above 30 degrees C on occasion. We also get snow in the winter. We get gale force winds. Now, obviously, we don't have to deal with hurricanes, tornadoes, and it being below freezing for 6 months at a time, but we do get below freezing weather and we get a little bit of everything. So for me, and not many English people will say this, for me, we get the best weather in the world. I absolutely love the English weather because I love how variable it is. But being someone who works with the land in Britain has given me lots and lots of varied experience of working with the weather. So it puts me in a great position to kind of riff on this subject, if you like. So as usual, most of my podcasts, that I mean, none of my podcasts are scripted, they're all just me talking. So I'm just going to run through really how I feel about working with the weather and what you can do to put yourself in a position so that come the end of the day or come the end of the season, you can feel this is great. You know, I worked with what was going to be given me today rather than feeling, oh my goodness, that was a fight. So starting off with climate then. So understanding your climate is obviously the first step. And the difference between climate and weather, as we've discussed, is your climate isn't something that's going to change dramatically. So whatever climate you're in is the climate you can make all of your long-term plans for. So when thinking about your climate, the things you're going to want to think about is rainfall. So what sort of rainfall do you get on your property? Where does it go? Where does the rainwater run off? You're going to want to think about, on an average season, in the spring, what sort of winds are you likely to get? In the summer, what sort of winds are you likely to get? In the winter, what sort of winds are you likely to get? So for me, for example, we can get some reasonably destructive gusty winds where we are. We're not on a hill, and I would say that gusts of 50 or 60 miles an hour are what we would consider to be probably two or three times a year we're going to get gusts like that in a storm. And occasionally, once every 10 years, we might get a 70 mile per hour gusting wind. So that's going to talk to me and dictate to me what sort of fencing we might put up in certain areas or what sort of trees we might grow. We're not going to grow a single exposed tree in the middle of a field that isn't a tree that's going to support itself in high winds, for example. But at the same time, we aren't going to be facing hurricanes. So it means that I don't need to go to that level of preparation. Also sunlight. So depending on where you are, and specifically distance from the equator, is going to dictate your hours of sunlight. So certain crops need minimum sunlight hours to fruit. Certain crops need to drop below a certain number of sunlight hours to germinate. So the sort of crops you can grow will be dictated in a small part by your climate. There are certain, particularly the tropical type plants and some of the citrus plants, they need a lot of sunlight. So there is no point me trying to grow them. The next point about climate is going to be timings. And I'm talking about frost dates. So my typical last frost date is around now. So that's going to dictate to me when I plant things, when I plant things out. And that is going to dictate to me how long my growing season is, which is again going to dictate to me what I can grow. So it's really, really important to understand your climate, understand the limitations of your climate, but also understand the opportunities that your climate affords you. The last thing that I want to talk to you about climate about is your winter temperatures. So there are lots of plants that can be grown as a perennial in certain climates and not in others, and it's going to be dictated to you by your average lowest temperatures for any prolonged period over the winter. So that is something that's going to tell you which plants you might be able to grow full stop, but also which plants you might be able to grow as a perennial as opposed to an annual. I'm thinking of things like tomatoes, which are grown as perennials in the right conditions. The adverse is also true. So your heat in the summer is going to dictate to you what plants you can grow in the summer. And as a holistic approach, looking at everything, we need to take this beyond just our plants, but also the animals we might choose to keep. Certain animals are better suited to certain conditions. Certain breeds of goats are more hardy than others to lower temperatures. And whatever it is you're going to do with your garden, and even in the formal spaces that you're going to choose to entertain, how you set those out, should all take into account your climate. It's really easy for you to get in touch with us. You can now send us an email at selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, or you can send us a voice message. The easiest way to do that is through the link in the show notes. You can record your message on your phone and send it straight to us, where we can play it on the show. Don't forget to leave your name and where you're calling from. We are always thrilled to hear any feedback, suggestions for the show, or questions that you may have. So do get in touch with us. So climate dictates our long-term planning and the layout of our garden, and dictates to a certain extent what type of planting we might use. Then we need to take into account weather. Now, weather is what the conditions are going to be at any given time. So the great analogy that I heard, that I think is the best analogy to describe the two, is if you imagine someone with a dog on a very long lead walking across a park, the human represents climate. So you know what the climate is going to be in spring, then summer, then autumn, then winter. But the dog represents the weather. So the weather could be quite variable within those periods. And sometimes, even though you're in summer, the weather could actually be more typical of spring or autumn, and vice versa. So I love that analogy, and I think it works really well. So the thing is with weather is we can't plan too far in advance, but we can plan a few days in advance, and we can certainly plan a few hours in advance. So I'm going to talk about days in advance first. So when we're planning our weeks, our weeks and what we'd like to get done in any given week is most likely already dictated by our sort of yearly plan and what we've already decided is right for our climate. But within those weeks, we're not really sure what the weather is going to throw at us. So even though I'm planning to, or I have been planning for quite some time, to plant my three sisters' bed this last week just gone, and to plant out a lot of my polytunnel plants. It could well have been that we were going to see more heavy frosts, and that I might decide to put off the planting out of those plants. So always keeping an eye on the weather for a few days in advance, I think, is well worth it, because you can use this to your advantage. So I will always try and do most of my planting on a day when we're going to get some rain. And we, in England, again, because we have such a variable weather pattern, it's really difficult to have any kind of idea what we're going to get. We can go weeks or months with almost no rain. Equally, we can go weeks or months with rain almost every day. But I will always look a week or two ahead and try and pick my planting days for the days when we're most likely to going to get rain, either on those days or in the subsequent days following. It's going to save me a lot of work. It's going to make the ground nice and workable. It's going to give my plants that perfect start to life and not require me to go and water them every two or three days while they get established. So it's always worth trying to work with the weather in that regard. There are also some plants that there's a benefit to harvesting them if it's a nice sunny day. For instance, if you're going to be using elderflowers to make elderflower wine or elderflower cordial, you want to pick them on a nice sunny day. So using the weather that suits the plant is really important, because it can make the end product that much better. It can also reduce the amount of work that you've got. So when I'm planning my day in advance, I'm not only looking for rain, I'm also looking at temperature. And we should consider the temperature for things like watering. If it's particularly warm, you don't really want to be watering in the middle of the day, because it can scorch the leaves. And also that water can evaporate almost immediately and not get a chance to soak in. So in the summer and in the hotter weather, it's much more important to water first thing in the morning. If you have to water twice, then ideally first thing in the morning and just before you go to bed. But obviously we have to temper all of these ideals with what's practical, but using our knowledge of what the weather's doing can make things easier for us. So if it's much, much easier for us to water in the middle of the day, but we can do it otherwise, then we might choose to water in the middle of the day on the milder days. And then on the sunnier days, the hotter days, we might be using that method of watering first thing and last thing to benefit our plants, even though it's not particularly convenient for us. It's always worth trying to factor as much into your decision-making as possible, and weather is certainly one of those factors. Personally, I love being out in the really hot weather. It doesn't ever bother me. I never get too hot, but everybody's different. So you might choose to do some of the more manual labour elements of your gardening. You might pick and choose the times to do them when the weather's not quite so hot in the summer, and conversely in the winter choose to do them when it's not quite so cold. I'm the same in the winter. The weather never really bothers me. As an old saying, there's no such thing as the wrong weather, only the wrong clothes. And I do quite like that. So that's how we might choose to manage our time in the garden based around the weather. And of course there's lots of other things that we can change based on what the weather is going to do for us. The next thing we're going to talk about is managing your garden space to manage the sort of weather you have. Self-Sufficient Hub is now on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. Anything you can donate is massively appreciated and will help to make the show better. So once we understand our climate and our weather, then we get to choose to make some long-term decisions to adapt how our land works to work in harmony with those things. So if you understand exactly where on your property your rainwater requirements are, where you're getting too much water, where the rainwater goes and forms boggy patches, where perhaps you don't get quite enough rainfall due to the prevailing winds and structures keeping certain parts of your ground dry, then there are things we can do and put in place to mitigate those, change those, change the way we work, so that they're all working for us in our favour rather than against us. There are swales we can put in to slow water runoff and allow for more water retention in certain areas. We can introduce irrigation to certain areas. We can change our planting. So if we've got a particularly boggy area, we might choose suitable plants that are going to thrive in that environment rather than go to the effort of terraforming and changing how our land works. The same goes for wind. If you've got some particularly exposed areas, then we might choose to plant in that space plants that are adapt to thriving in those conditions, or we might choose to install or grow fences or hedges as windbreaks and things like that. So there's always things we can do to work with what's happening in nature, but there's also things we can do to naturally change how the nature is working, so that there are things we can do to make that boggy area less so. Or perhaps you want to introduce a boggy area. Digging a pond at the high point on your property is always a good idea, because it allows that water catchment at the high point, which can then be distributed lower down as required. Swales that run across the slope of ground. A swale is basically a small ditch, and running across the slope of land is going to stop the rainwater just running off straight down the hill and off of your property. It's going to catch it in those ditches where it's going to sit and then dissipate over a much longer period of time. So there's all sorts of things we can do. It's just a choice as to what works for us. So that's how we should be working with the weather. I hope you've found some food for thought there. I hope you found some things interesting that perhaps you hadn't thought of before. As always, do get in touch. We are delighted to hear from you, whether that's via email or if you leave us a message. The details of how to do that are in the show notes. We are going to be putting out our next episode on Friday. I hope that this new format is one that works for everyone. If you missed the announcement in the last week or so, then we've gone from being a daily podcast now to coming out three times a week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. The reason for that is just the time pressure on me. So it's quite difficult to always find the time in a decent environment where I can record and to be able to sit down and do it. Actually, coming up with the content is not a problem. I've got an endless list of things that I want to talk about and want to share. But having the time when it's a suitable place where I can sit down and do it, and then the time to edit it and things like that, is actually not always convenient and can caused me a little bit of stress, I won't lie. It's been a little bit stressful occasionally, because I very much like to be consistent. If we're doing it daily, I want to do it daily. I don't want to have the odd day off. So for me, this is going to work much better. And hopefully it's going to lead to an increase in quality, because it's going to allow me more time to edit and things like that. And hopefully you'll see those results. As I have mentioned before, we are desperately in need of some recording equipment to increase the quality. So if you're able to donate anything to the show via our Patreon, that is hugely appreciated. And, you know, this show's never, I'm never going to be making money from this show, really. It's all about just covering the costs and trying to increase the quality. So anything that is donated is definitely going to be used for the show. You're going to see the benefits. So if you're in a position to donate something, even if it's just $1 a week, £1 a week, or whatever you can afford, you know, less than a cup of coffee a week really would make a huge difference. Or it's a month rather on Patreon. So $1 a month or £1 a month would make a huge difference. Or of course, more if you can. And I completely understand that lots of us aren't in a position to be able to do that right now. And it's never going to be a requirement. We're never going behind a paywall or anything like that. And I appreciate all the support you can get. And if monetary support isn't for you, then you can also support us by leaving us a review and a rating on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube, selfsufficienthub.com. And I look forward to speaking to you next time. Cheers. If you find these podcasts valuable, there are several ways you can support them. The easiest ways are to rate it and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. You could also share it online, talk about it anywhere you blog, or find someone you think might be interested and point them our way. You can also find and support us on YouTube, where we are also Self-Sufficient Hub. Thanks for listening.